This is Ozarks at Large. David Pryor served more than 24 years in Washington as a senator and representative for Arkansas's 4th District. Between his stints in either chamber, Pryor also served as the 39th governor of Arkansas. In conjunction with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, he gave a lecture last night at the University of Arkansas Global Campus in downtown Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis attended the lecture, and he has this report.
The dysfunction of Congress was the topic of last night's lecture. Pryor said that the topic is on the minds of many in the nation.
Today, about 85% of the American people say that our Congress is dysfunctional. That's not a very good record for this particular Congress, but it is the record that most people believe in. It is the record that most people adhere to, and it is something that I think our time and our generation, we have got to address.
He said that Congress now has the lowest approval rating in history. According to Gallup polls, Congress's approval rate was about 15% in March. To further explain how he feels Congress got in its current position, Pryor explained that throughout the political history of the U.S., certain statements by political leaders have taken on lives of their own.
Martin Luther King, "I have a dream." FDR, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Al Haig, "I'm in charge here." Ronald Reagan, "Tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev." Lloyd Benson, when he was with Dan Quayle debating, "Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy." We all remember that statement. But tonight, for a few minutes, I hope you will allow me to paraphrase and expand on another famous statement delivered by a very famous man, Speaker Tip O'Neill. His admonition when he made the statement, "All politics is local." I'd like to take Tip O'Neill's statement and expand it. When he said all politics is local, I maintain all politics is personal.
He posited that politics are personal on all levels of government, from municipal to state to national. But Pryor says that that relationship between those who govern and the governed is being lost.
Blame the Democrats. Blame the Republicans. Blame Nancy Pelosi. Blame the president. Blame the lawyers. Blame the preachers. Blame the media. Blame the courts. Blame the Tea Party. Blame everyone you'd like to blame and everything you can think of. But the truth is, there's enough blame to go around. There's an abundance of blame to go around. At the bottom line is, down in Winslow this morning, I'm sure there was somebody sitting around on a bench saying, "We're in a fix." And we are in a fix. The government, to function, has got to have one thing to function properly, and that's the trust of its people.
Pryor says that in order for the government to carry out its business, like providing for the general welfare of the nation and maintaining national defense, it must have the trust of the public, which he says is slowly being lost. To give more insight, Pryor compared what is happening in Congress today to how the legislature operated when he was in Washington.
Today, in the House and the Senate, they meet less and less. They vote fewer times each week and each month. Recorded votes are becoming more rare with each passing day. There's still 535 people in the House and Senate that compose our Congress, as we call them. The numbers have not changed, but I can tell you the political environment is very, very different today than it was 20 or 25 years ago.
He said that there are several root causes as to how Congress got into its current dysfunctional environment.
When a member of the U.S. House of Representatives is elected to Congress today, 2 years later, he has to go through that same election, and the day after election, that new member of Congress, most of the time, will start his campaign anew by raising money. The morning after the election, they start fundraising for the cycle. Almost some of the same senatorial Senate seats are today costing millions and millions of dollars.
While the senior Pryor avoided making a campaign speech for his son's ongoing re-election bid, he did say that the current Senate campaign will likely be the most expensive political race in Arkansas political history. But the rising expense of campaigning isn't limited to Arkansas. Pryor says that the ballooning cost of running for office is happening across the country. And with the rising cost of campaigning comes the need for members of Congress to jet-set around the country to raise the funds necessary for a successful campaign and return to Washington for votes through the middle of the week, only to repeat the cycle with every passing week.
They're trapped today in a web which has become more vicious with each passing election. They're running in place. They are today on a human treadmill. And I don't see anything that's going to slow that treadmill down. The real winners today are the TV stations. They love all this because they're going to make a huge amount of money this year like they have never made before. Senators and congressmen don't have a chance to know one another.
Aside from politicians not having the chance to know one another anymore, Pryor said that another great change in the environment in Washington lies in the greater number of lobbyists who are now active in that city.
25,000 people today are registered as lobbyists in Washington. I like lobbyists. I don't have anything wrong. I think lobbying is a necessary part of our system. But to have 25,000 lobbyists registered and 535 individuals to lobby, you can see that the imbalance is pretty grave.
Pryor also credited the emergence of dark money, or campaign contributions in which the source is legally concealed from the public, as instrumental in changing the political landscape throughout the country.
Usually it's into a Senate race or a House race, but now it's coming into school board and mayor's races. It's coming in at the local level. And there are groups so powerful and so wealthy and so focused on controlling our governmental system that they are willing at the ground level to begin making their mark and beginning their hope that they will achieve control and power in this particular field.
He said that with the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision in Citizens United, a decision that was split along party lines, outside groups are funneling money into rural states like Arkansas and Mississippi, where the cost of television advertisements and thus the cost of entering the political machine is still low when compared to other states like New Jersey. To give another example of how politics is no longer personal, Pryor said that during his time in Congress, members from both sides of the aisle met for potluck suppers every Sunday night.
Democrats and Republicans, can you imagine this? Went to each other's home, and we had potluck suppers, and we visited with one another. We knew their children. They knew ours. We knew their dogs. We knew their parakeets. We knew everything about them as a family and as people. But today, that does not happen. A Republican home or apartment one Sunday night, a Democrat home or apartment the next Sunday night, people, liberal, conservative, whatever, this does not happen. And that is something that helped us to bond as colleagues and friends. And there is no red state, there is no blue state ever discussed at these Sunday night suppers. Politics was personal at that time, and it's got to be personal again.
Pryor said that what came from those Sunday night suppers was relationships between senators, congressmen, and their families. But now that those suppers are a thing of the past, Pryor says that there is a lack of personal relationships between members of the House and Senate and their colleagues on the other side of the aisle. To describe how personal relationships were once a normal part of politics, Pryor told a story about one night he shared on the Senate floor with the then freshman senator, Dan Quayle.
I watched this young senator, And he was pacing the floor, and he was going to Bob Dole, and he was going to Howard Baker, and he was saying, are we going to get out anytime soon? Are we going to? So I went over to the Republican side, and I said, Dan, what's wrong with you? He said, well, my 12-year-old son is getting ready in 30 minutes to play for the Little League Championship out in Maryland. And the leadership tells me there are going to be at least four or five more votes tonight. And they're keeping us here on the floor. I said, Dan, go to that ball game. There will be no more votes tonight on the Senate floor. And Dan Quayle says, how do you know that? I says, because I'm getting ready to get the floor, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to filibuster until you get back. And so that was the case. He left, and sure enough, that ended the session for the night, and we voted as we should have in daylight the next day.
Pryor said that perhaps because of that relationship, Dan Quayle never came to Arkansas to help campaign against him. Pryor said that that idea of members of Congress not campaigning against their colleagues has fallen by the wayside along with the personal relationships in Congress. As a result, Pryor says that the art of true negotiations in Washington has suffered.
Because it was at the negotiating table, the attitude was, let's find a way where we can all win. Today, let's find a way where we win and you lose. That's not the way our founding fathers set this system up. The spirit of compromise has forged America's greatest decisions on Social Security, Medicare, GI Bill, Marshall Plan, think of civil rights, each born from compromise, and tedious negotiation, understanding, and all in very, very good faith.
Pryor likened what is happening in Washington to coring an apple, and that Washington's middle core is being hollowed out and thrown away. As a result, some of the current frustration in the country is caused by the debates relating to the filibuster rule.
Today, one senator has the power to bring the Senate to a dead end. The normal number of filibusters starting about 1915 was about one, two, maybe three a year, and it gradually moved up the scale and up the scale. This session of Congress alone, 128 cloture petitions have been filed to close off debate and get around the filibuster rule. I truly believe that today we are going to have to address the filibuster rule. And the Senate, though it has protected minorities, it has protected us in many instances, but I think today it has been abused to the extent that we're going to have to look very, very closely at doing away with it.
He said that Congress didn't get into its current dysfunction all at once, but rather it was caused by evolution over time.
Some believe that it was the scorching debate over civil rights that did us in. Some think it was the confirmation hearing of Judge Bork a few years back, or maybe the searing hearing in the Senate over Clarence Thomas. Others say it was the impeachment trial of William Jefferson Clinton that brought the outrage that destroyed the lasting civility honored by time in the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. Well, remember, there are 20,000 lobbyists in Washington, and each one has a cause. Remember the Citizens United decision of 3 years ago opened the spigots for unlimited flow of what we call today dark money. We don't know who is giving that money. We don't know for what purpose that money is being spent. We don't know the donors. All we know that it is dark. And we are seeing a sign of that darkness today.
But finding solutions to fix what ails Congress is, as Pryor said, the hard part.
As you know, when Will Rogers was confronted about all those German U-boats out there in the Atlantic, he said, oh, that's simple. There's a simple way to deal with those U-boats. And they said, well, Will, how do we do it? We can't find them. He says, drain the ocean. Well, we can't drain the ocean today, nor can we step back and recreate what we have ever had, because it will never be the same.
Pryor said that a first step in solving Congress's dysfunction could be tackling campaign finance reform. In addition, he said that shortening election cycles from their continuous nature and abolishing the filibuster rule are other possible fixes to the regular stalemate in Washington. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.